Well, it turns out this news story wasn't fake. The South African government isn't stopping at seizing land from its white farmers. Now they're looking to hold water hostage as well. In a new proposal, the government might start limiting water to white people. Let's take a look at said proposed legislation. You'll notice some key words being used here. The legislation looks to create a, quote, consideration of a decision for water use license applications to promote equity and redressing past racial and gender discrimination. It also goes on to say that it will, quote, give preference to applications from black people followed by women. Now, even though this hasn't been implemented yet, they are in the process of doing so. And joining us now to discuss all this is political cartoonist and broadcaster Jeremy Nail. Jeremy, thanks for being here. We've been well aware of the situation of Africa looking to take back farmland that belonged to white people, but now they're taking it to the next level in promoting quote-unquote equity, right? They make it sound so nice, promoting equity when it comes to access to water. I mean, what more can you tell us about this?
Well, it's really just a sleight of hand. What it actually is, it's the ANC government wanting to further discriminate not just farmers, but white people. It's an attempt to expropriate land. They've been wanting to take away farmland for a very long time, as you probably know. And this is just another sneaky way to do it through water, because water was nationalized essentially about a decade ago. And if the government can control centrally water supply, you have to go through all sorts of hurdles and permits and things to supply water, depending on the size of your farm, depending on the size of the land. It's just very, very devious. And I think that it needs to be absolutely exposed for the scam that it is. And outright racism, because they use the word black. They don't even include mixed race or let's say Chinese or Asian or whatever. It's just outright black. I mean, it's completely and utterly racist.
How much pushback is this getting in South Africa, if any at all?
I think it's getting a fair amount, but it's going to grow. You see, there's a lot of misunderstanding in terms of what's going on. Has it been passed? It's at the moment, it's just a draft, and it hasn't been signed off. So I think at this stage, because it's in the interim, it's in the middle phase, there's a lot of confusion as to what it actually means. But I think it's going to get a lot of steam soon. I can see that there are a lot of emails. There's a lot of media attention. It's a lot of social media attention. It's not going to certainly, it's not going to get minimized. It's certainly going to get maximized in terms of the zeitgeist.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you think this might not actually be codified. It might not pass.
Yes, I am hopeful, and I think it's very important to be somewhat optimistic. I think it's easy to fall into the trap of ultra cynicism. Make no mistake, okay, I live here, so I know what it's like, and the ANC government tries everything possible to make white people the enemy, and particularly white farmers, because they're in the majority. I also think this is a tactic to try and get more votes. There's a national election coming up, I think, in the next year or so, and the ANC are on a trajectory to lose. This is going to be their worst showing historically, and I think they're going to get below 50% officially, which would be the first ever. If you know the history of South African elections, you'll know that the ANC have always had very, very large large numbers of votes. And I think this time it's going to end up very bad for them, and it might actually end in them having to create coalitions with the opposition.
You know, I have to wonder, Jeremy, because when I look at the language of that suggested legislation in South Africa, it's so reminiscent of what we see in Washington, D.C., particularly with the Biden administration. So how much influence are you seeing in South Africa from what is going on in the United States, particularly under the Biden regime?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that there is some influence coming from the U.S., but I think there's probably more influence coming from let's say, the World Economic Forum, United Nations, and I think those sorts of blocks that want to create a more, shall I say, divided society. There's a lot of power, I'm sure you know, if you can keep people divided. It's a great tactic, and it's something that the ANC have used very, very, very successfully. So I don't know how much direct influence there is coming from the US, but I think there are definitely models that they follow, without a doubt.
So let me ask you, because I also want to, I picked up on something you said in regards to the language and the legislation. You said this is specifically black, so it excludes, you know, Chinese, but also mixed race, black, white, mixed individuals. Is that, so because here in America, you know, it's just anybody but white, basically. If you are what we call a person of color, that you're included in this superior, you know, equity tier. But is that the case in South Africa? Because it sounds like it's a little bit different to me that some of these people might also be getting discriminated against, as well as white people.
No, they definitely are. So in South Africa, there are absolute categories for that depend on your ethnicity. It's extremely crude. It's not something that's pleasant. But I mean, if I had to fill out a form, a government form, I have to tick, you know, it will say white or black or mixed race. There's a term that we use here, colored, and I think it has a different meaning in the US. It might say Asian or other or whatever. And it really is so degrading to have to select an ethnicity, because you know what's going on here. It's because they're trying to create division through the data that they are gathering, which they will eventually use against everybody. And the funny thing is, Emerald, the funny thing is that this actually disadvantages black people down the line. It has a negative effect. It's just something that strategically, it shouldn't happen, but it does happen, and it will always shoot them in the foot.
Yeah, always. And we see the same in the United States, particularly in these cities like Baltimore. But it seems that it's never completely understood, or you know, it always boggles my mind as well. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here. We'll continue to watch this piece of legislation. It's concerning because if it passes there, I mean, you know, it's definitely a global push towards this equity idea and keeping us separated, though, as you noted. So we'll keep a watch on this, and we're glad to have you on the show. And for our audience, if you'd like to follow Jeremy's work, you can head over to germwarfare.com. Love it. Good to see you, Jeremy.
Emerald.
Thank you.